All right, so this quarter we're talking about faith. And just a little quick review. I'm cutting down on the review slides each week a little bit. Hopefully we're starting to get some of my points here. But we started with Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, looking at a scriptural definition of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So we took that and we discussed spiritual understanding. We're familiar with, have knowledge of the priorities of God. We've thought deeply about what God wants and what he loves. We acknowledge how God has been active in our own lives. And we've immersed ourselves in his scriptures so that we grasp the deeper and subtler truths in them. We talked about being able to develop our faith, that faith wasn't just stagnant, it wasn't just an abstract concept that we just have. Even the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Thomas, we talked about Thomas a little bit, actually having to put his hands in the wound before he would believe the Christ's resurrection. But Christ said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So that's the kind of faith that we're trying to work on here. Christ expects our faith to grow. We looked at some examples of that. We looked at 2 Peter 1:5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. The point is, building our faith is active. There's something, it requires action. It requires us to put thought into it and to want to build our faith. We looked at James 2, and we talked about faith and works. We talked about it not being just an intellectual assent to the promises. In other words, we don't just say, yes, I believe, but we actually do something with that belief. We do something about it. It's an embracing of those promises in their full glory and detail and the effect it has on our lives. It's more than simple belief. It's an active trust in the future God has assured us. It's active, and people should see it in our lives. Not only should our faith be active to us, but other people should be able to see our faith. All right. Last week we got to... So that covered like the first 3 weeks. Last week we got to faith establishing trust. We looked at Webster's definition. The assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. In this case, we're talking about relying on God and his character. That's what our faith is. And establishing trust in God. We talked about Matthew 6, 25 through 30, those verses tell us not to worry. God will take care of us. He feeds and clothes the plants and the birds. We believe that God does that. We look about at creation and we believe, we have faith that God actually did that. But still, we're anxious. So anxiety is somewhat natural for us. But we looked at some scriptures here that, where we saw that Christ expects his disciples to overcome. Matthew 14, 28-30, Peter walked on the water towards Jesus, and his faith wavered. Jesus said, oh, you have little faith, do you doubt? So we took from that not only do you have to have faith to start the walk, but you need faith to finish the walk. Then we talked about fear, and we had a lot of good discussion about fear. I got some good notes, actually, at the end of that. I'm going to hold off on fear because what I learned from last week about fear, and then going back and reading those scriptures that we were given, I have come up with a fact, and y'all can agree or disagree. And in fact, let me give the the standard disclaimer here. Guys, if there's anything in this study that you don't agree with or that you would like to add to or talk to me about, please, I don't want to take anybody down the wrong path, and I sure don't want to go down the wrong path. So, but we talked about fear, and the connection I was trying to make with trust and not fearing. So we're going to move from trust here in just a minute to faith creating courage. And then we're going to move from courage, and this might be next week, we're going to move from courage into fear and how faith does away with fear. Those three together, I think if you think about it, trust, courage, getting rid of fear, I think those all kind of tie together. So that's kind of the reason I put that in that order. And I had not looked at fear as closely as I have now. So hopefully we'll get something out of that. So we got to talking about our everyday life. John 11:40 said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" This is the scene where Lazarus is in the tomb, and they roll the rock away, and Mary says, "You know, hey, he's been in there a while. He's going to stink," and you know, kind of telling Jesus not to roll the stone back, and Jesus told her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" And he rolled the stone back, and Lazarus was sitting there in his grave clothes, alive. So the point out of that is that Jesus wants us to believe in those extreme moments. And just like Matthew 25:6-30, where he tells us not to be anxious about the simple things, the same thing with the extreme moments. If he wants us to believe in the extreme moments, how much more so does he want us to believe in his care and to trust him in our everyday life? A lot of risk kind of associated with that, with trust. And it's not just a one-time experience. We must keep trusting. All right, Matthew 17:20. Christ said, "If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains." This is kind of where we got to in this area, so this is kind of where I'm going to start up again. What does it mean for us to move a mountain? Does that literally mean to you that I'm going to stand out here, I'm going to go over here to Milano and the highest peak in Milano in Milam County is Hart Peak. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to say I want Hart Peak over in Brazos County. And if I have enough faith, am I going to be able to move that? JR?
Yes.
Telling
us what we commonly, I think, fail at as humans. We either have some character struggle, character flaw, we have some challenge before us that God has said to do, and we say, "I can't, I won't, I can't get over this raising," or "I can't get beyond this." With God's help, we can, but too many times I think we let that mountain before us, but I think Satan has put it there to tempt us. Are we really going to do what God has told us we can do with him, or are we going to let that mountains stand in our way and not see that God can get us through it and around it or make it move out of the way?
Yeah, I think that's exactly.
Time it could have been literal, but at the time it could have been literal, but today, from what we talked about last week, I understand it to be removing obstacles from. Removing obstacles that would compromise the trust.
I think both of y'all are saying pretty much the same thing. The mountains that we have today are the obstacles that we face in our everyday life. Sometimes those mountains get pretty high. We have sickness, we have disease, which I guess is the same thing. We have problems at work, we have problems with our children. Some of these obstacles seem insurmountable to us sometimes. Brent?
The point is not the mountain, the point is the faith.
That's right.
Did
y'all all hear that? The point is not the mountain, the point is the faith, okay? And how powerful that is. And that's exactly the point, I think, of this verse. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, that is, I think that's been defined in the past as, you know, one of the smallest seeds that are out there. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. If we have the faith, yes, sir.
That's an important point. It is a faith, and a mustard seed is not something that you go and poke in the ground and jump back 5 paces and yell, "Watch out!" It grows, but if you sit there and watch it, you're not going to necessarily see it grow in one blink, but it does grow up to be real big. It keeps growing.
I had not thought of that, Ed. Thank you. That goes right along with our faith being actively building our faith. Thank you. I'm going to add that in. So if we look at some of the things in our lives, some of the mountains, some of the obstacles that we've had to face, again, I think all of us that are parents or were parents think about the obstacles in raising our children and the things that we come up against, the things in the world, other factors that try to influence them. I know, without going into war stories, you know, if you have a job, especially a corporate job, you know, there's all kinds of mountains that you have to move. And I'm not talking about success in business. I'm talking about dealing with the people and doing the very best you can to reflect Christ in your life as you conduct business. We talked a little bit about disease, cancer, some of the other diseases that are ongoing. Those things can be very discouraging. They can be very big obstacles to us. We talked about 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, and I'm going to go into this some more later also, but it says we walk by faith and not by sight. That mustard seed, the things that we're building upon, and add to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge. Where does that knowledge come from? This is the knowledge that scripture is talking about. It's not talking about the internet. It's not talking about an antique internet, like a set of encyclopedias. Some of y'all don't know what those are, I'm sorry. But I saw some at the bookstore the other day. It's not worldly knowledge that we're talking about. It's spiritual knowledge. And this has got to be our guide. And here in a minute, I hope I get into how that builds our faith. So I'm going to try to tie all this together. So some examples from Scripture. And I said I don't like character studies, but some of the characters in the Scriptures we do need to talk about a little bit. So let's turn over to Genesis 6, because there are some great examples of faith. There's great examples of faith in the whole Bible, but especially in the Old Testament, we have some good examples for our learning. So starting at in chapter 6, verse 14. Let's start at 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. And he gives them the specifications. He gives Noah the specifications. Now, we've had a lot of rain the last week, but I don't think any of us ever thought about running out and building an ark to get through that. I don't think this is something that would have ever crossed Noah's mind. And you hear different accounts, you've heard different lessons on it. I'm not sure where some of the examples that they give but actually come from, because I don't find them exactly in Scripture, but you can imagine people ridiculing Noah. I think that might have been came from the movie. That might have been Charlton Heston that was building the ark then or something. But think about the people could have been ridiculing him. His own family could have said, Dad, what are we doing here? You know? God told you to do what? But Noah had the faith to believe what God told him to do. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit more as I tie these three points together. But faith gives you the trust in God and the courage to be obedient sometimes when we don't understand completely. Sometimes we may have a little bit of doubt. And I think that's, did I see a hint? I think that's kind of the example with Noah. Let's look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 3. I missed it somewhere. There it is. Tim, when I get up here, for some reason, all the books just, they move in my Bible. Daniel 3, starting at verse 11. Starting at verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and had accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in sympathy with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They trusted God enough to come out and say, yeah, I know what you said, but I'm not going to do that because I trust in the living God. I trust in Jehovah. I trust, exactly how he says it, the God whom we serve. And they trust him. They have faith that that God is able to deliver them from the fiery furnace and that he will do that. But if he doesn't, he still trusts God enough to say, that's God's decision. God has a plan. We trust God to make the right decision. And I think that's kind of the point of, again, not doing a character study, but that's the point of that I always get out of this passage. And it goes on that, you know, they're cast in the furnace and they're saved and delivered out. And Nebuchadnezzar then turns and praises the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serve. And it's just it's a great story. How hard is that for us to do? Or how easy is that for us to do? Is it, if we're at school or work or just out at a restaurant or at the mall or something, is it easy for us to be a light? Is it easy for us to be the salt? Or are we afraid of being ridiculed? Are we afraid of being chastised? Maybe not so much at the mall or stuff or restaurant or something, but at work and school where there's a lot of peer pressure. And I know where I work, and this is one of the reasons I've got 103 days left or something. But in today's society, you are pushed a lot. They don't call it diversity anymore because people finally caught on to that. But they call it equality. They put a big, they've really twisted the word respect around. I'm getting off on a soapbox. Let me get off that real quick. The point is that society today does not only expects us, but is pressuring us to accept things that are just unscriptural. And it's really sad, but it makes it very hard in the workplace. And I know school's the same way. And y'all that just graduated and fixing to go off to A&M and other institutions of lesser learning, I had to throw that in. You can tell Luke I said that. You're gonna find that pressure there. I mean, even when I was there back right after they admitted women, it was a while back in the 80s, in the political science classes, there were some awfully heated debates. And you have to stand up for what, not just what you think is right, but what you think is right has got to come from here. And if we don't trust in the Lord, let me get myself back off this soapbox. If we don't trust in the Lord and trust in his word and live by that word and have faith that this is the right thing to do, we're going to get ourselves in a bind. So,
trust at a couple of different levels. The first was they trusted God to deliver them out of that furnace.
Yes.
But they also acknowledged his sovereignty that he might not choose that, and they trusted him to deliver them anyway. Like maybe not out of the furnace, but they still were going to trust the outcomes into his hands. And we have to do that too. Like, I can trust that God will preserve my job if I stand up for something right. But I also acknowledge that he might not, and I still have to do the right thing.
That's exactly right. And we have to, we talked a little bit about this in an earlier class. I'm not an expert on why God sometimes answers our prayers the way we want. Sometimes he answers our prayers not the way we want. But I do know this. I have faith in this, and I trust this, that God knows better than I do. And he is going to make the right decision. And as I've looked back, and we're on the next slide here, as I've looked back on my life, decisions that maybe I made that kind of went against the grain because it's what I felt was right. This was before I was a Christian, but looking back, I can still see God's hand in that. I can still see God getting me to where I am today. So, Keith, you had your hand up.
But that these three did not blame God for the situation they were in at all. There was none of that. We talk about, or as you were going, as you said, I would love to reiterate prayer and answered prayers. And sometimes we want to blame God for not listening. No, that ain't the case.
Yeah. So not only, and that's a good point, not only do we need to trust, but we need to trust to the point that we're not assigning blame. Ed?
I guess kind of what was already pointed out, there are such things as martyrs mentioned, you know, and that's they're praised for standing for what's right to the point of death, literally. And so that may be the outcome. You know, we just got to keep reminding ourselves that the fact that, you know, sometimes we just say, oh, it's all going to work out, and it's just the way I want it to work out. But if we're truly trusting, we can stand there and know we're going to not live through this event and still just go through with it. I think that's ultimately our goal.
Yeah, to your point, Paul wrote from prison that the things that I've suffered here, and this is, I don't have it memorized, but paraphrasing it, the things that I've suffered here in prison have been good for the furtherance of Christ.
The best thing for me, it's looking for others and for future generations. That if I follow through with this, I'll be setting an example, I'll be helping others, encouraging others, and not necessarily it's going to work out great for me.
So, just a little side note. Ed's moving to my next slide. One of the things that makes me think I'm at least on the right track with this is as I get comments, y'all are always one step ahead of me. So I think I'm going in the right direction because that seems to be the direction y'all are going. So some of the evidences in our lives, answered prayers. We've talked about that. But maturity in our lives, look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. There it is. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As we build our faith, as we mature in the scriptures, as we mature, as we add to our faith virtue to virtue knowledge, self-control, that is a building of our faith. That is establishing that trust. And the evidence that God is working in our lives, people can see that. And if other people can't see it, we sure should be able to see it. We should be introspective enough to know that I am growing. If we're truly, truly truthful, I don't know if that's the right use of those words, but if we are truthful with ourselves, we know. We know which direction we're headed. We know our minds. we know if we're growing, we know if we're relapsing. You know, we might be like the Israelites where, hey, we're up here 1 minute and down here the next, but are we growing? Is that slope headed positive? And then love for one another. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. Matthew 20, 22, I probably don't need to turn over to this for most people, but let's make sure I get it exactly right. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The greatest commandment, 2 Peter 1 through 5, ends with, add to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. It just amazes me. It doesn't amaze me. It reassures me. It gives me comfort that the more I study the Bible, the more it's leading me in the same place. All of the things about serving Christ, serving God, what is the culmination? It's God's love for us and our love for each other. And ultimately, then, the ultimate promise, the ultimate trust is when we die. 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 through 10. Starting at 6, "But we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We started here with walking by faith and not by sight. And we're getting to giving us the confidence that we will have a home with God in the very end. Paul was not only confident that he was going to be with the Lord, but he was pleased that he would be with the Lord after his death. Is that the kind of faith and the kind of trust we have? Are we pleased that that's where we're headed? Have we built ourselves up enough to know that's where we're headed? Not only is it pleasing, it should be pleasing to us, but not only should it be pleasing to us, but verse 9 says, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him." So our goal is to be pleasing to God. And then there's the little admonition there. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So, I think that's it for trust. We have 5 or 10 minutes. Let's go ahead and get into courage a little bit. And I'll just get this started and kind of set the scene, and then we'll take this up again next week also. So, y'all know I love Webster's. I like to take words in a scripture and break them down and look at each word, especially important ones, and see what that means in today's language and what that means to me. So, courage, mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So, what is fear? Webster's had two definitions. One of them, the first one, was to have a reverential awe, such as for God, to be afraid of. So my question here is fear always a bad thing?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, fear is not always a bad thing. What does the fear of God instill in us? Obedience. What else?
She said urgency.
Urgency?
Yeah, I can see that. The thing that the fear of God instills in me is respect. A respect for His power and a respect for the consequences if I don't obey with urgency. I don't think, you know, so soapbox war stories a little bit. When I was a young man, and this may have gone a little bit too far, but if I didn't obey, I knew what the consequences were going to be. We kind of got away from that a little bit. But I respected what my father told me to do, my earthly father. How much more so should we respect what our heavenly Father, who controls all? Ed?
Revelations 2:13 says, "And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you."
I went over that verse last night, but I didn't add that to this. But I struggled with whether I should add that one to that or not. I'll give you one more example, then I'll move on. Last year, there was, and I'm not singling this young man out. This young man lost his life, and that's tragic. But last year, there was a car wreck over on, a single car wreck over on 2549. And a young high school student lost his life. But Corey told me, not Corey, the boys, Landon and Landon told me when we were talking about that in class, he said, that young man, he just kind of shook his head and said he was going over 100 miles an hour when he entered that curve. And he lost control of the car. And he lost his life. A little bit of fear in that case, a little bit of respect for the consequences that would have happened or that could have happened might have saved that young man's life. Very, very tragic, but that came to mind when I was talking about, and we can come up with a dozen other examples, but
what we're talking about in the previous slide, the death and things like that, we look at the immediate consequences of our father, our parents, the spanking is coming, whatever's going to come. But the eternal consequences, again, those can be good and bad as well. We don't, it's not an immediate thing, so we don't think about how this is going to affect me eternally. Am I going to get in trouble for this? Am I going to get caught with this? We forget the eternal side of it, that we think that life ends at death. I mean, we know it doesn't, but that's what our mind does. You know, we got to get to death.
Isn't that why having faith in what the Word of God says and in God's power is so important? Because you're exactly right. Another example, that's something I read, is I can do what I want to because God's not really going to punish me for that. You know, it's one of the things in the way we worship God. We worship God strictly by what His scriptures say. We don't deviate. And some people think that just because it does some good, or it makes us happy, or it brings people in, that it's okay to do those things. And we have the, our faith says that that's not true. Our faith says that God wants us to worship Him in a certain way, and that's the way we should worship Him. That's the same thing with our behavior. You know, I'm out of town. I could go to the bar and have a few drinks, watch some sports, listen to some dirty jokes. Nobody around here is going to know. God won't punish me for that. Nobody else knows. What are the consequences? Same thing with school. You know, I'm out on a field trip. My buddies are going to go do something mischievous. Is that the right thing for me to do? Nah, I'm just going to go along with them. It's going to be fun. You know, they're the ones doing it. God's not going to punish me. Those are the sort of things that I think we have to have have respect for doing the right things, or we're going to get way off track. And the getting way off track may not happen today. It may not happen this week. It may happen when we die. Because when we read this verse a minute ago, we are all going to face the judgment seat.
Like seniors that are graduating, they have a foundation. But once they get out there, that track is very important for them to stay on.
And the foundation that's what I said earlier about, you know, raising our kids. Are we giving them the right foundation? What are they going to do when they leave the house? I know from personal experience, it doesn't always work out the way we think it's going to. So, okay, enough of that. That's the other mute button. So real quick, the other definition of fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. This is the fear that we normally think of. This is the fear where I'm scared. This is frightening me. It can end up in a state of terror, a state of intense fear. Another definition for terror was one that inspires fear. That they had two. There are things in this world, well, I bring it down to us. You know, sometimes our kids can be a terror to us in different ways. So we're going to stop right there, but next week we're going to read Hebrews 11, 32 and 39, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Gideon. I told y'all I don't like character studies, but I think Gideon's experience in moving from fear to having faith, I think it's a very important one to look at, and I think has a lot of application to us. So we'll start there next week.